Scripture tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We come before his presence with singing. And it has been good to do that this morning. But also in the prayer, I believe a joyful noise, a joyful sound was made as we petitioned the Lord together and prayed and looked to the Lord and asked him for the things we stand so much in need of, and especially his presence when we gather to be able to truly worship him and thank him. Be involved in that wonderful activity of worshiping the Lord together. What a blessing that is. And there's no joyful sound in this world like the sound of the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of our hymns, the beauty of our prayers, and the beauty of preaching is because it declares the message of Jesus Christ, which is a gospel that is truly good news, a gospel of peace and a gospel of joy, a gospel of rest, a gospel that falls on the hearts of God's little children that have been made alive by the Lord, and it's like cold water to their thirsty soul. It's the Lord who gives the thirst. It's the Lord who gives the cold water. It's the Lord who satisfies that thirsty soul with the sound of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is to God that all the glory belongs. That is what Jesus taught when he was here in this world. This gospel was given first by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was given to the apostles by the Lord Jesus Christ. He personally gave it unto the apostles. He came to them in particular and called them in particular and taught them in particular these truths. And they, by inspiration of God, penned them down in the Bible that we have before us. So we can be assured of the authority of his word today as we look in the word of God. The Old Testament, the prophets wrote as holy men of old were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then the New Testament is the words and the writings primarily of the apostles, even the apostle Paul, who did not see Jesus in a literal way or have any love for Jesus while he walked here on the face of the earth, but certainly saw him on the road to Damascus when Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus spoke to him directly and told him that he was going to be an apostle, that he was called to be an apostle, and certainly changed and turned the life of the apostle Paul completely around. And the authority that the apostle Paul had, the authority that the apostles had, is the authority that you and I, if we are following and have fellowship with the apostles, it's that same authority we have today to stand and preach the gospel. And that same gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that he taught and that was about him, was given unto the apostles. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking bread from house to house. And that has continued and will continue in the Lord's church, which he's put upon a rock. And he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The rock being Christ, the rock of revealed truth. The flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it will be here in this world. When the Lord comes again, there will be the sound and the message that the apostles taught, that Jesus taught, that was given by Almighty God. And I hope and pray which we'll be declaring today. If we're not declaring that, we're declaring a false gospel that is not the gospel. And God forbid that that would be ever be the case. We want to stick with the Word. We want to follow the truth as it is in the Bible. We want to stand where the Lord stood, where the apostles stood, where the church in the past has stood, where we want to continue to stand today. We don't want to waver to the right or to the left, but we want to hold fast to that wonderful faith, that body of truth, that faith. Faith can come in the Bible in many ways. Faith can be a body of truth in this particular text that we're to earnestly contend for the faith. It means a body of truth we want to earnestly contend for. We don't want to waver to the right or to the left. If you've noticed in this world, truth changes all the time in the ideas and thoughts of men. And what was true yesterday doesn't seem to be true today. And what we always thought was going to be true, well, they're changing that all the time. Want to let us know there is an absolute truth laid down in the Word of God that does not change and will not change no more than God himself will change. And that truth is embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And to change that truth would be as easy as changing Jesus. And Jesus, if we preach the truth, he said, we preach Jesus Christ. What? The same when? Yesterday and today and maybe change tomorrow? No, and forever. We're going to hopefully, prayerfully, earnestly contend for the faith and tarry and occupy in this world until the Lord either comes again and takes us out of this world in the wonderful day of the resurrection, or whether he takes us in death when our spirit and soul leave this old body and we go home to be the Lord. I hope we all can say, kind of with the Apostle Paul, in whatever way or capacity God has called you, that as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that be at Rome also. In other words, we want to share that gospel. I don't want to share another gospel. I don't want to take from this gospel. I don't want to add to this gospel. If I do, I don't change. The gospel stays the truth. I just leave it. I depart from it if I add to it or take from it. And if I do that, it will not be to the benefit of God's little children. It won't make them feel better. It may make them feel better for the moment. It might scratch an itching ear for the moment. It might appeal to the flesh for the moment. It might puff them up for the moment. It might make them feel good for that temporary time, as sin does that. There's a little pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. But when your world gets shaken by the problems and cares of this world, it won't hold up. I'll tell you what we believe and what the Bible teaches, and I pray that's what we believe. It's what the Bible teaches. It'll hold up when everything else in your life gets shaken. And you and I need that. I need a daily dose of it. I need it every Sunday morning, but I need it more than just Sunday. I need a dose of it on Monday and Tuesday, and especially Wednesday. I need Thursday and Friday and every day. I need this wonderful truth to be brought over and in my memory and in my heart and in my mind, so I am truly not just hearing about Jesus on Sunday, but I'm taking the name of Jesus with me as I go in this world, recognizing I'm always in his presence. The Lord is at hand. Isn't that good? The Lord is at hand. He's at hand when you awake. He's at hand when you sleep. He's at hand in every area or problem in your life. The Lord is ever present with us. And sometimes it seems like he's so far away because our spiritual eyes aren't attuned, our ears aren't open, and our heart gets darkened and callous. And what preaching does, it helps to open, it helps to shine the light so the eye the Lord can give you, the Lord gives you, you're allowed to be able to see. And when you're able to see, all we want to look at is Jesus. And that's what I want to preach, Jesus. Well, that said, we're going to read the first chapter of the book of Galatians. And the writings of the Apostle Paul, where the Apostle Paul is preaching to a church that was going into Judaism. They were leaving the truth that they had been established in. And they were departing from that and adding to that by adding circumcision and other things under the law, and teaching that justification wasn't by and through solely the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but by Christ and some action or work on the part of men. And if we add to anything to works, as brethren have said, once you add anything to grace, you no longer have grace, you have works. And it either is grace or it's works. And the Bible is very clear that salvation is by grace. And it's not by grace, but... And it's not by grace and, it's by grace. We're saved by grace. And the faith that we have, that is the gift of God, is given to us whereby we are enabled to believe and understand and know these things. And even that faith comes to us as a gift of God. It is a work of His grace. And we have a sovereign God who works His will among the armies of earth and the inhabitants of heaven, as none can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? And if we ever lose sight that He's sovereign, if we ever lose sight of His power, if we ever lose sight of His love, and we lose sight of His wrath, and we lose sight of who He is, well, we leave grace and we start having men being able to help God, which is an impossibility. First of all, God doesn't need my help. He never asked for my help. He never even asked my opinion about it. He never asked the apostles Paul's opinion. Paul had his opinion. He was on his way working his opinion. walking through life trying to do everything he could to destroy the name of Jesus. But I'm telling you, when the Lord finished with him, it wasn't a tug of war where there was a battle going on where the Lord pulling and Jesus pulling and maybe something happened. He struck him down and left him in such a state he was glad to say, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." He was doing some battling because he said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And there's some battling you and I do sometimes when we think, well, you know, I know what the Lord says, but here's what I want. You ever get there? Okay, let's read this chapter. Galatians chapter 1. Remember, this is the Apostle Paul. And what he's doing in this chapter is confirming that he is an apostle and how he's an apostle and why he is able to say what he is able to say. There were those at Galatia, the churches of Galatia, who was questioning his authority, that had brought into question his doctrine, had brought into question what he was preaching, almost to the point of saying he's preaching something other than what the other apostles taught. And of course, we know the Apostle Paul was in full agreement with the other apostles because they all had the same one who had called them into apostleship, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't teach one of his apostles something and another something else and another something else for them to battle it out. We can count on this. The Bible declares the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it declares nothing but the truth. And whether we understand it or not, there are no contradictions in it. It is God's Word. And where we will be able to be blessed is when we understand that and then come comparing Scripture to Scripture to see the fullness of the doctrine and rightly dividing the Word of truth, but not questioning the Apostle. There are some who don't like Paul at all. They don't like what he said because what he said didn't agree with the ideas and thoughts of men. I'll tell you what James said doesn't agree with the ideas and thoughts of men. What Peter said didn't agree with the ideas and thoughts of men. And what Jesus taught, look, upset men. Men that were religious. Men that knew the Old Testament. Men that felt themselves to be religious and right and on track. They despised what he said because what he said cut them to the heart and to the quick. Because he spoke the truth. Always in love, but he spoke the truth. And he does that with us too. Now let's read this chapter. Okay. He said, "I, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went unto Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But others of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came unto the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. The Apostle Paul is saying, what I preached to you, I didn't preach by my own authority or by my own ideas or by my own might or by my own wisdom, by my own learning. I did not get it from the Jewish religion, nor did I get it from any man. I didn't get it from the apostles, but I have this by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth that is. Paul said, I am an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Today, as we preach the Word of God, we're not just talking about man's ideas. We're talking about that which was given to us by the one who created the heavens and the earth. We're declaring the Bible. As we preach the Bible, we're preaching by the authority of God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. And we're also by the authority of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, and also through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. For if any man preaches the gospel, he has to preach it in power and in demonstration of the Spirit of God. Therefore, when we meet together and worship the Lord and preach the gospel and hear the gospel, we have fellowship not only with one another, but with the apostles, and not only with the apostles, but with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And that's serious, wonderful, I say serious business, but it's a wonderful time to be in this world and have fellowship with the Lord. And he says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. And then you get the message. This salutation of the Apostle Paul, as we said before, you'll find in all the writings of Paul. But it's not something just to be glossed over like a welcome or how you do or anything like that. Here's the meat of the gospel laid out in a phrase that you see in all the writings of the Paul. He said, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel is a gospel of grace. The gospel is a gospel of peace. It's good news about what the Lord has done for His children. And it's a declaration that is to be made to His children. He gives us that declaration in verse 4. He said, who gave Himself for our sin. Notice this, that Jesus gave Himself for our sins. It's very important that we understand that Jesus, when He came here into this world, knew exactly who He was coming for. Because there was a people given to Him according to the Bible from before the very foundation of the world. Not just a few people, not just a few old Baptists, not just a few, but out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people, an innumerable company that no man can number, the Lord, in a covenant of grace before the very foundation of the world. God the Father gave unto His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a people that He came for, and when He came into this world, He came to live and bear the sin debt for those people. And when He did that at Calvary and paid the price, He secured the eternal home and the redemption of every one of His children that He died for, that He paid the sin debt for. And He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that He hath given me, I would lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. See, Paul, when he preached the gospel, didn't preach a gospel that was in general to somebody, but it was in particular to his people. It was a gospel for the elect, a gospel to the children of God. Now listen, we don't know who the children of God are as we walk through this world. I can't say who is one of God's elect and who isn't one of God's elect. I know this, the foundation of God standeth sure. Oh, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. But as I'm going along in this world, I'm to go preach the gospel and declare the gospel. And wherever it lands, and to whomever it lands upon, I am responsible to preach the truth. There will be some that when they hear the truth, have ground that's prepared of the Lord, that they're able to embrace the truth, acknowledge the truth, walk in the truth, following the truth. And there are others who have an eye that can't see it, an ear that can't hear it, a heart that can't understand it. And the preacher can't give the eye and the ear and the heart that comes from the Lord. But the preacher is is absolutely required of God to preach the truth and nothing but the truth to the praise and the honor and the glory of the Lord. And if I add anything to that or take anything from it, especially if I do it for the applause of men, then that's usually why it's done, because man doesn't want this part, we'll leave that out. Or man wants this said, so we'll put that in. And if I do that, then I'll appeal to the appetites of the flesh, but it won't feed your spirit. Matter of fact, it might cause your head to get puffed up, but it won't help your heart a bit. I don't want you going out of here with your head puffed up. I hope if you came in here with your head puffed up, I can get that knocked out of you before you leave. But I want your heart to be filled. I want you and I to understand that without the Lord, and whether I'm the Apostle Paul or whomever I might be, without the Lord, I'm nothing. In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's what Paul taught. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would never be and could never be of any benefit or value to the Lord. The Apostle Paul was a persecuting, hard-headed Saul who had nothing in his mind but to destroy the name of Jesus Christ and all those who were followers of Christ. And he would have continued on that course and died in that state had not God struck him down. And God struck him down because he separated him, according to this text, even from his mother's womb, which really means he was in the mind of God before the very foundation of the world. And when Jesus came on this into this world, he came for Paul. He had to fix up a Saul to make him a Paul. He had to fix up you to make you who you are if you are truly worshiping the Lord today. He had to not only know, he knew you before the very foundation of the world. And then he sent his son into this world. You see, the doctrine of a general atonement says that he came into this world and died for everybody in hopes to get somebody. Which means he really died for no one in particular, but just gave a general washing to everybody. Somebody says, what's wrong with that? Number one, it's not taught in the Word of God. And number two, it takes away from the particular love and the particular redemption that he did and the work that he did for you in particular. Listen, he came for you. He didn't just come for somebody in hopes to get you. He came for you. And he came where you were. He came where I was. He came with the, knowing the need I had. All things were open to him with whom we have to do. He knew what I was. He knew what I would be. He knew all about me. And he didn't. And somebody said, but God is not a respecter of persons. No, he's not. That means it wasn't anything that was in me that made him choose me. As a matter of fact, neither having done any good nor evil. I had not done anything. It was not by anything that I had done, not any action I had taken, not any wrong I had done or any right that I had done. But God, here's why people get upset with the Lord, because God does what he wants to and doesn't check in with you. And we get upset with that too in this life, don't we? Sometimes something goes the wrong way and we didn't want that to happen. And we get all bent out of shape and all tore up and all worried, and it doesn't do anything but make us miserable and everybody else around us miserable. It doesn't help the matter at all. And when we go trusting in the... And listen, our God is in the heavens today. Don't you believe that? I believe Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father today, as well as in the hearts of his children. I believe he knows exactly where you are and what you need. I don't believe anything's happened this morning that he wasn't aware of and knows all about. I also believe that he's ultimately in control. That does not make him the author of sin, nor would I ever want to preach or teach that, but I'm telling you, he is ultimately in control. And so I can trust him. I can trust him when I'm sick and pray and get better, and I can trust him when I'm sick and pray and seem to get worse. My knee feels real good this morning. I thank the Lord for that. But it may not feel so good this afternoon, and I hope I can be just as thankful this afternoon. You know, it's easy to thank him when your knee's okay, but it gets a little difficult when your knee starts hurting. It's easy to thank him when your folks you pray for get better. Sometimes it's hard when they don't seem to get better. It's easy to pray for him when the things you want to have happen happens, but there's times what we want is not best because we don't know what God knows. You can be assured of this. There's not anything that our Lord has ever given unto us that has not been in our best interest. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now get me, That's not talking about the evil necessarily, the evil acts of men. It is talking about the things that God does and whatever He does and in overruling evil. And God does that again and again in our lives. You take Joseph's brother in the Old Testament. Joseph's brother meant it for evil, but it turned out to be according to the will of God. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I ask you to look at the handprints of your life, God's handprint on your life. Whew. Can you see Him overruling? Can you see Him working? If you can't, hang in there a while and pray. Because I'm telling you, your life, if you're a little child of grace, your life is full of God's gracious acts and works in your life, some of which you complained about all the way through them. And I say you, let me just say it. We complained about all the way through them. You see, the Apostle Paul said, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins." Jesus gave Himself for our sins, the sins of His people. His name was called Jesus, according to Matthew chapter 1, "For He shall save His people from their sins." Did He say He might save, want to save, hopes to save, would like to save? Listen, He had a love for His people. God the Father loved them. God the Son loved them. God the Holy Spirit loved them. This triune God who is one God manifest in three persons. And that work of God, that one we're going to sing one day to, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and declare the perfect work of redemption of Jesus Christ on the tree of the cross, had a love to save everyone He chose in covenant. Everyone He loved, He had the power to save. Somebody said He loved them, but He can't save them. That means somebody He loves is going to spend an eternity in hell. Do you believe that? It doesn't fit, does it? Because those that He loves, nothing. The Bible says, this is what, it doesn't matter what I think about it. The Bible says there's absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come. I'm not getting all of that, but the end of the 8th chapter of Romans tells us there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, if there was some action on my part that could separate me from God, I wouldn't be able to sing Blessed Assurance one day, because I'd surely be doing it. The fact of the matter, there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God, nor any other creature, He puts that in there, that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And He says, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Isn't that good? We're in an old present evil world. You can feel the effects of it, can't you? You can feel the effects of sin in this world as the old body breaks down and the eyes get worse and the hearing gets worse and the memory gets worse and everything in the body starts breaking down, and we got that OLD syndrome. We got this problem and that problem. All of that comes as a result of sin. Sin in this world, we're in a present evil world. We got trouble that's in the world as a result of being in this world. But this world is not our home. Praise the Lord. We are strangers and pilgrims here below. And one day we'll be carried out of this old troubled world to be with the Lord in glory. What a glorious day that'll be. While we're here in this world, we still have deliverance. I found deliverance this morning, didn't you? I found a little joyful place here in this world. And I can find it in my family. You take a couple praying together, that's a joyous time when they can hold one another's hands and pray and ask the Lord's blessing. When they're in trouble, I found it even by the bedside of those that are sick. And also, even when you've lost someone, when you can feel the Lord's presence and His manifest presence with you, it's a glorious and a wonderful time. When you feel the Lord. And oh, brethren, we want to have as much of that experience as we can. And Jesus came that we would be delivered from this present evil world. Not only in death, but even in time as you're living. He says, according to the will of God and our Father. And I love verse 5 because it's really what the meat of the gospel is about. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. If what we're preaching doesn't give God the glory, we're not preaching the truth. If the way we preach about His redemption doesn't give God all the glory, we're not preaching the truth. If we talk about His creation and don't give God the glory, we've missed the message of the beauty of His creation. If we talk about the church and don't give God the glory, we have missed the message of what the church is supposed to be declaring. If we talk about one of God's little children and all that we see in their life as they shine their light in this world to the glory and honor of God, and we don't talk about the glory of God, we miss what that life and the real purpose of that life was, and that is to give praise and glory to the Lord. Listen, what we're here in this world for, we're here to give God glory. You know when you'll be the happiest? When you're giving God glory. And when you stop giving Him glory, you're not going to be happy. You're going to lose your joy, your rest, and your peace. If we ever get the feeling we've done it, well, we've missed it, haven't we? But when we understand it's the Lord who, even when we do good in this world, who works in us and allows us to work out what He's worked in, we give Him the glory and the honor and the praise for it. There's no place for us to pat anyone on the back but to give all the praise and the glory and the honor to the Lord. Now, we can appreciate one another and certainly ought to encourage one another and ought to be helping one another. And when we see our brethren and sisters doing right, we ought to commend them as the Apostle Paul did so many times in Scripture. But we always remember, without the Lord, there'd be no good thing in this world. And he says to them, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, how could someone who knows the gospel lead the gospel and get into something else? See, you don't have to stray very far, do you, to leave the gospel? Because it doesn't matter how much you add to grace, no matter whether you add a little work or a lot of work, you still leave the gospel once you get onto anything additional or you leave anything out, we leave the gospel. That's why it's important for us to really study, as good Berean brethren, study the Word of God. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. Study to be sure that what you're being taught is the truth. Not just take what I'm saying up here or what any man says from any pulpit, but take what the Bible says and study it so that when you hear these things, where you hear the truth being preached, you can say in your heart or out loud a hearty amen to it. But when you hear otherwise, you know I'm not going to have that, because I know it's easy for even God's children, the church at Galatia, to be removed from the gospel of Christ, and it happened very quickly to this church. And the way it happens is you just add a little bit. Just get man involved in it a little bit. He says, and notice that it's not another gospel, because there's only one gospel. He says to another gospel, and it is another gospel, but in a sense it's not, because the word gospel means good news. And listen, if it's not all about grace, it's not good news. Good grace is a message of that is good news to the poor little hungry sinner. But if I add anything to that, it will not be the good news of the gospel. It'll be bad news. There's a lot of people preaching a supposedly good news that is really bad news. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, they had left it, but there was also some who had brought a false doctrine in. And that's why we have to beware. Beware of who? Beware of preachers. What preachers? All of them. You said, you mean you? Paul said himself, didn't he? And I'm telling you, if Apostle Paul said watch out for him, I said watch out for me. Watch out for all of us. He said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. What he meant was, if we go anywhere but where the apostles taught and what they said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And if I start preaching something that isn't the Bible, we're not to follow that. If I say, okay, I think I found another book that'll help you along, don't follow that. If I think I've found another way that's not been in God's Word, don't follow that. We are to be, as the Berean brethren, studying the Word of God to be sure that the things we're hearing is the truth. And he says, and if any man, an angel of heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. And he says, for do I now persuade men or God? And that's what, that is something so important for us to understand as a church. Today we're not coming as a church to figure out what it is we ought to stand for. We don't vote on that. We don't come together as a group of ministers or a body of people and say, okay, what is it that we all need to stand for? And as if we can vote this truth in and that truth out and add this part and add that part. And somebody said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about something that's practiced among many religions and people of this world and can be get that way among us. What I'm saying is the truth is not up for debate. I can't come in and say, okay, this is not really helping us. We've been preaching this for a while. It's in the Bible, but it's not really helping us. Let's just change that part and leave that out and start or back off a little bit on that and focus on this. And we'll focus on this part, but let's leave that off because that's hindering our growth. That's hindering how well we're being received. Listen, our church is never the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles' doctrine and practice has never been that which the world saw as a wonderful thing. As a matter of fact, it's always been that little sect that's everywhere spoken against. And they've been persecuted down through the years. And what I'm saying to you, he said, "Do I now persuade men or God?" In other words, we're not asking God, well, can we change this or change that? What we're to do is say, okay, God, what is it that we're to talk about and teach? And then we're to declare that to God's children. And as we do that, it'll be for their good and for their benefit. It's not really open for debate. He said, "Do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." That's very important. You pray for me and pray for other ministers that stand before you, that the Lord would give them the courage that they should have and need to be able to speak the truth in love in the fullness that they ought to say it. That whatever God has laid on their heart, they'd have the boldness to say it and declare it, even if it makes us that are listening uncomfortable. That if I need rebuke, Lord, bless our preacher to have the courage and the wisdom to be able to rebuke in a way that'll be beneficial. And the Bible is not only just for encouragement, but it's for reproving. There's times we need reproving. We know as parents, when you have to correct your children, it isn't something that's pleasant. Sometimes we'll neglect it because we go like, I just don't want to have to. You ever get to where I just don't want to have to deal with that? I know I ought to do something with that, but I just don't want to have to deal with that right now. And we kind of let it go, and it isn't for our benefit or the child's benefit that we let it go, but we can do that. Listen, a pastor's responsible to declare to the church what they stand in need of. And the way he finds out what they're in need of is not to for us to come to you and say, okay, what do you think you need to hear about? But to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that I need to declare unto this little church? Because he knows all that we stand in need of and what's coming. Not only what we've been through, but what's coming. And then as the Lord lays it on his heart, sometimes as a minister, you go like, phew, I just don't know how. It can be difficult. And I know it sounds maybe, I think if all the ministers, it gets difficult. Because you know, it's like, well, I don't know how they're going to take it. See, the bottom line is I got to get that out of my head. I got to get out of my head, how are you going to take it? And that's the old self that I deal with. And a battle goes on. I want to be faithful to the Word of God and to the Lord. And I want to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I want to say it in a way that's pleasing in the sight of God. Yes, I want the brethren to believe it. And I want them to hold it. But I can't make that happen. I just have to preach as the Lord gives me the liberty. And I need courage to be able to do that. Please pray that God would give me courage. That God would give me wisdom to be able to declare the truth, not anything else. If I get away from that truth, then I'm not going to help the church. My desire is to help the children of God. That I'd have the courage to say what's needed and the wisdom to preach the truth. That I'd have like that eye of an eagle to see trouble coming down the way and down the road. And then when you see it, sometimes we see it and we kind of go like, I think it's coming, but maybe I'll just be quiet about that and let it, maybe it'll go away. Have you ever had a problem you known about and you say, I think it's going, it's like riding down the road in your car and you hear, I'm not picking on you, but I mean, you hear something ticking and you go like, hey, maybe I got a problem. And rather than deal with it, we just think, well, I think I'm going to just keep on going and see how that works. Listen, there are times in the church where the minister is given by God the ability to see something down the road And it's something that he said, well, let me just, and he sees it, and rather than deal, we have to have courage to deal with it. You have to have the eye of an eagle to see it. You have to have the courage. And then you need the strength to keep on going. You need that strength to just keep on going. And when they don't listen, to keep on preaching. And when it doesn't seem to be working, to keep on praying. And when you don't see an end gathering, just keep looking to the Lord. Listen, we can get discouraged if we just think, how's it going? We don't know what, we might be like the little, as we talked about a week or so ago, the disciples in the ship, and we may just be in the third watch of the night. The fourth watch is when he came. We need to keep on going. Your pastors, your preachers, your ministers, they have to have all those faces that God gives them of the wisdom and the courage and the persistence, the perseverance to continue to preach and to teach and not waver to the right or to the left, especially as the popularity or lack thereof happens in this world as a result of that. Kind of like the way the world is right now. They don't mind you praying in public as long as you don't use the name of Jesus. You're okay to pray, but if you use Jesus' name, your prayers are not really welcome. And the fact of the matter, if you don't use the name of Jesus to pray, you're not praying. There's only one access to the Father, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the intercessor. My prayers wouldn't get out of the room without Jesus, without Him carrying them. And a minister has to preach the truth, and he has to preach it effectively, and that takes the Lord. It also takes God's people praying for him and being willing, when they hear the truth, to heed the truth and to walk in that truth. And where we need to repent, which we all need to do, repent. Turn from it. And you know, it's a blessing to be able to... Listen, the Apostle Paul went a whole different course and a whole different direction as the Lord worked that in his life. And he's saying to these brethren, you were on track, but now you've gotten off track. He's saying, get back on track. And brethren, isn't that life really about that? I'm on track one day. I think I got a handle on it. Next thing you know, I'm off again. I got it. I got that covered. Next thing you know, I'm right in it again. Somebody said, well, you done fell right back in it. The old devil says, you done fell right back in it again. You might as well just give up, quit. And listen, he's a liar. He's been a liar. He won't be anything but a liar. And he'll have you run right down the road of that to your destruction. Not eternally, but your destruction right here in this time world. He can't take your eternal destiny. That's paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. Okay. He said, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he went on into his past, and I'll go all the way down to the last verses there. He's verse 23 and 24, he said, But they had heard, he said, he had none known by face of the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which had persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And when they heard that, they didn't go pat the Apostle Paul on the back. It says, and they glorified God in me. In other words, they recognized what Paul was able to do wasn't by Paul, but by the grace of God. Brethren, I see God's handiwork all over this room. I see the work of Almighty God in your life. I see lives that have been changed. Some of you, I don't have a clue how much He's changed you. You know a little bit about it, but God knows all about it. But He's touched our lives. He's given us a fellowship in the Lord. And He's done things in our life that only He could do. And it is to Him that all the praise and the honor and the glory belongs. To God be the glory. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
Love you, my brother. God bless you. Pray for me.